Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2, when you find your place, if you will, stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Nehemiah chapter number 2, and I want to read one verse. The Bible said this, Nehemiah chapter number 2, verse number 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Father, we love you today. Help us for a little while as we look into your word. I pray, God, that we would get understanding from it. And God, I want to say thank you openly today for a mom and daddy that prayed for me, and not just for them, God, but for the others that prayed for me. God, thank you, Lord, for this special day at the church house. This day, Father, when we're able to do a groundbreaking service. And Father, I pray that you'd bless our church and you continue, Father, to meet the needs of it. Save that sinner closest to hell this morning, that one that's backslidden. I pray, God, that you'd bring them back close to you again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into this for just a little while and talk to you about our groundbreaking service today see what the Lord will give us out of this. I thought about this. You know what? There's a lot of churches that never celebrate a day like today except when they built the building that they're in right now. You know, a lot of churches, they've been in the same church, the same building for 40, 50, 60, 70, some even 100, 120, 130 years, and they've never grown past that. I sure am thankful that the Lord is growing our church, and the Lord is expanding our church, not only in our building and not only in numbers, but also in our world missions giving, man. You know, just the other night, that was the biggest amount we've ever given away at one time. And just 2 weeks ago in one night service, we give away $12,000 to build a building in Uganda while we're building a building here. Amen. And boy, the Lord sure has been good to us and blessed us. I thank Him for this special day that we celebrate today. I thought about this. I thought about some things about the church, and I thought about this. A church is a physical monument to the spiritual presence of God. It is a place where God and people come together for a special and a holy purpose. A church is a special place. I thought about this. The church is a place of glory. It's a place where we come into and we experience the glory of God. And we get help in our time of need. It's a place of glory. I understand that we can be in the presence of God anywhere. I don't have time to preach the Old Testament and the rending of the veil and us having access into the holies of holies now. But we can experience God anywhere. We can worship God anywhere. But there's something special about going down to the church house and having the glory of God manifested down at the church house. It's a place of glory. The church, I thought about this by way of introduction. The church is a place of guidance. It's a place of guidance. Let me tell you where I learned right from wrong. It was down at the church house. Let me tell you where I learned to read my Bible at and that I was supposed to do that. Down at the church house. When there's times in my life that I don't know what to do, you know what I do? I go down to the church house. Amen. Now I'm going to take it a step further. I'm thankful that God put a pastor in my life down at the church house. Now some of this is hard to say because I'm the pastor here, but boy, that pastor helped to guide me and helped to lead me and to keep me. You know what? My pastor kept me from making a lot of dumb mistakes in my life. Yeah, man, my pastor kept me from making a lot of dumb mistakes in my life. And I want to say something to you. God puts a pastor in a church to help in guidance. Amen. The church is a place of glory. The church is a place of guidance. But can I say this? The church is a place where grace should be exemplified. where grace should be exemplified. And the first thing we do is we say this, yeah, you know what? We can go down there and God can forgive us for what we've done wrong, but we don't exemplify grace towards others. Hello, Tokyo. You know, well, I tell you what, that person, you know what, they done this to me and they done that to me, and I seen them down there, and bless God, I just ain't going back down there. Well, who cares what they done to us in our past? The church ought to be a place of grace. It ought to be, let me give you some Bible. Can I give you some Bible? Galatians 6:1 says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what he says? He says this, if you're spiritual, and it's not if someone messes up, people will mess up. Amen. People will miss the mark. People will mess up. And the Bible says this, the spiritual person is to restore that person. Amen. And so many times at churches, boy, they say this, well, you know what? Back in 1971, I voted for Charmin toilet paper and they didn't buy that. They bought something different and I ain't never going back down. Man, where's grace at today? Well, I tell you what, Stan looked at me the wrong way one day and I walked by and Stan and Robert was talking and I think they was talking about me. Well, if they was talking about you and they asked you to forgive them, where's grace at? You say, well, I know this about that person and I know that. Time out just a minute. Time out just a minute. Let's get a wire out of the ceiling and bring it down and plug it into your mind and let's put up on the screen every memory that you've had, every thought that you've had in the last 24 hours. Let's put up there everything that's went through you. You're not going to put my mind up there. I can promise you that. So before we criticize everybody, the church ought to be a place of grace, man. It's a place where we forgive people. It's a place where we lay our differences to the side and we come in to get guidance and to experience the glory of God. I thought about this verse. The Bible said this in Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Peter said, till seven times. Should I do it? And we all know Peter, man. We all know Peter. Till seven times. You know what, Lord, do I just forgive him seven times? And listen to what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. He said, Peter, no matter how much they come back to you and they ask you to forgive them, you just forgive them. The church has sort of be a place of grace. The bitterness is killing so many people today because they don't know how to forgive. They don't know, well, preacher, you know what? They done this to me this many years ago, and I'm just not going to talk to them anymore. Well, you know what? That person's living their everyday life. They're going about their everyday life. You are not bothering them. You're the loser in that. The church house ought to be a place of grace, man. It ought to be a place of grace. You know what it ought to be? It ought to be a place of glory, a place of guidance. It ought to be a place of grace. But can I say this to you? It ought to be a place of growth. It ought to be a place of growth. I've come to this conclusion. If it's not growing, something's wrong. If it's not growing, something's wrong, man. If we go a spell and we don't have visitors at the church, man, I go to scratching my head. What do we need to do? Why are we not experiencing? It ought to be a place of growth. I thought about this when you think about the church. Yes, I'll preach to you in just a second. I thought about this. Now I'm watching the time. I thought about this. And the Bible said this in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what? All the world is coming against the church today. They're coming against us because we preach in Jesus' name. Because we pray in Jesus' name. There's a lot that is trying to shut the church down today. But I come to serve notice on you. You ain't going to shut the church down because God's done made a promise upon this rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Will I build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The reason hell will not prevail against the church is because the church is built on Jesus, and some 2,000 years ago, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, so the devil and hell will never prevail against the church. He said, it's my church. I thought about this at the church. It was June of 1994 at the church I got saved. It was July of 1994 that I got saved at the church. It was July of 1996 that I surrendered to preach down at the church house. It was in October of 1998 that I met a beautiful, tall, brown-headed lady by the name of Leslie. And you know where I met her at? Down at the church house. It was in September of 1999 at the church house that I got married. It was in November of 1999 that Leslie and I surrendered to full-time ministry and we was at the church house. It was in June of 2003 that Leslie and I dedicated Madeline, our oldest daughter, back to God at the church house. July or March of 2006, Leslie and I dedicated Olivia back to the Lord and we was at the church house. July of 2006, our family become the pastor at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. We was at the church house. It was May of 2012 that Leslie and I dedicated Victoria back to the Lord down at the church house. You know where my best friends are at? They're at the church house. You know what I love? I love the church house. You know what Jesus died for? Jesus died for the church. I think I'll stay with the church today. Amen. It was the church, man. It was the church. You know, let me tell you what, 99.999% of us met at the church. Matter of fact, I can pretty much say 100% because Matt and Tina and I met in a Christian school that was at a church. I've known them longer than anybody here, and we met at the church. And man, you know what? I've got closer friends sitting in here today than some of my own family. And you know where we met, Brother Josh? We met down at the church house. Brother Brian, you know where we met? We met down at the church house. Brother Robert, I met you down at the church house. I don't know about anybody else, but I like the church. It's just something special about the church house. I thought about this. Let's break ground this morning and build another church house. Why are we breaking ground to build another church house? Here's the reason why. Because of the glory of God. Because of the guidance of God. Here's the reason why. Because we have learned to show grace down at the church house. And because of that, now we're growing. Hey, man, I need to be dignified and just talk to you this morning, but I feel like preaching, praise God, because we have showed grace and God has showed grace to us. Now we're growing. So let's rise up and build. Let's rise up and build. Let me show you two or three things about breaking ground. Anytime you break ground, here's some things that's going to happen. Are you with me? Number one, there's going to be problems. I know I preached all that great stuff and got you all feeling good, and now here we are with problems. There's going to be problems. There's going to be problems. We put, in 2017, we built this Sunday school wing, and we put this, it was really just going to be a temporary construction entrance in, and we ended up using it for overflow parking. There's already, I know some of you's already wondering, because all of that parking's done. As soon as grading starts, it's done. We can't park over there no more. That's a commercial construction site, and you're not just going to be able to walk around, and that's a construction site at that point. But there's already help on the way, and we've already got a plan for all of that. Okay, just bear with us. But I thought about this when we put that in, just, I don't know, probably 15, 20 feet up from the road out there. Brother Granville was out there digging, and I was down on the backside, and we was moving some dirt, and I was spreading it out down there in another piece of equipment. And Brother Granville told me to come up here, so I came up here, and we hit a root pile. An old stump pile. Evidently, whenever they graded this off, they just buried all the stumps right out there in the front initially. So we hit that. I told Brother Granville, I said, what does that mean? We just going to pour some gravel on top of it? He said, no, preacher, said this ain't down. I said, what are we going to do? He said, well, it's a problem. He said, we got to dig it out, get rid of it, put good dirt back in its place, and it'll be fine. You see, anytime you go to grading and anytime you go to building, anytime you go to breaking ground, there's going to be some problems along the way. Watch this. Watch what your Bible said. I got to preach fast. Look in verse number 19. Verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Gershon the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. You know what? As soon as Nehemiah said, man, let's build, you know what happened? There was a crowd that came up against him. Now, I want to say something to you today. We've already experienced some problems, matter of fact, and I'm not going to deal with all this, but just a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, I had to deal with some issues in our church. You know what that is? That's growing pains. That's growing pains. I remember as a boy growing up, there'd be times that I'd have cramps, and I'd say, what is that? And Mama would say, it's growing pains. Whenever I have a cramp in my leg, I don't know what it is. Old age, I guess. Anytime you grow, there's always going to be little problems that come along the way. But the thing is this, we must revert back to what God has said. God said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we've got to, number one, there was problems, but number two, watch this, and I'm preaching fast. I wish I had an hour to deal with all this. Not only in breaking ground was there problems, but in breaking ground, there was provisions. There was provisions. Whenever you go back and study chapter number two, when you go back and study chapter number one, chapter number two, you know Nehemiah's the king's cupbearer. And I need an hour to preach all this, but Nehemiah's the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah goes to the king and asks the king, hey, will you let me be gone for a little while? Jerusalem, my home lieth waste. The walls thereof are torn down. I want to go check on it. The king says, go ahead. He goes and he looks at all of the rubbish that's there. And he comes back to the king and he says, man, we've got a problem. I need to build these walls back, but I need something to build it with. And you know what the king does? The king writes a letter. And in writing that letter, the king gives him a letter that gives him permission to cut all the trees that he needs to and to get all the supplies that he needs to build the walls of Jerusalem back. Matter of fact, note what he said in chapter 2, verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have not no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Look back what he said. He will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. As long as we keep God first, amen, the provisions of God will take care of this building. That don't mean you quit tithing. I said you keep God first. That means you're going to give him your tithe. Somebody say amen right there, because we need it. We fix to borrow a bunch of money and go in debt, and we need your money, okay? That's my message on giving this morning. Don't quit giving. Provision. Y'all know I hardly ever say anything about money. I just encourage, give, man. You want God's best for your life? Give. The provisions. Over and over. I wish I could tell you. I wish I had time to tell you how God has already provided. There was one set of drawings that was going to be almost $9,000 on the civil side. We made another phone call to another gentleman, and you know what? He said, well, it's for a church. I'll just take care of it. I'll draw them and I'll take care of it. Well, I wish I could take time to tell you of the things, the tens of thousands of dollars. $40,000 in one place, $8,000 in another place, $7,000 in another place. Watch this, $50,000 in another place. God's already, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying let us rise up and build. The provision, there's problems, there's provision. But I thought about this, watch this, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse number 6. So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together to the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. For the people had a mind to work. I thought about this. Anytime there's a groundbreaking, there's problems. Anytime there's a groundbreaking, there's provision. Anytime there's a groundbreaking, there's participation. So built we the wall. Nehemiah didn't stand up and cross his arms and go, boys, I built this wall. No, he said, we done it. We done it. I said this on Wednesday night. I think it was Wednesday night. Might have been last Sunday. I said it at some point in time. And I said, here before long, probably over the next month or so, we're going to tell you how much each metal stud, because part of it will be metal studs, part of it will be wood studs. We're going to tell you how much one of those metal studs cost. We're going to tell you how much one of those 2x6 boards cost to go in that building. We're going to tell you how much the seats cost, each one of them cost. And I'm going to challenge you to buy a stud or to buy a seat or to buy a carpet square or to buy a piece of the floor that will go upon the platform. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, you know what? You may not can give $10,000 to this building program. But you know what? If all you can do is buy two of those metal studs to go in the wall, then you give as much. Then you give as much as the man that give $10,000. Now, if you can give $10,000 or more, we'd be glad to take it, okay? You can give it. You're as much a part of it. You're as much a part of it. So built we the wall. It's not a, yes, there's a building committee because there has to be organization. But it's not just the building committee building the church. It's not just the pastor building the church. It's not just that. No, it's all of us. It's all of us. We all have a part in it. We all have a part in it. I thought about this. There's provisions, but I thought about this. Let me show you something else. 11:55. Watch this. There's prospects. There's prospects. I can take a shovel and I can walk down there on the side of the road this morning after service and everybody leaves. Brother Tim, I can start digging with that shovel down there on the side of the road. Just start digging. And you know what? When somebody drives by, they're going to slow down. And they're going to do this. And probably run down through the woods over yonder. We call them rubberneckers. Are you with me? Breaking ground always brings prospects. Somebody's going to come walk in that new building just because it's sitting there. You know what? The first Sunday we're in that new building, there's probably going to be just some nosy people that comes. Just some. Matter of fact, y'all got all that cement stuff that's sitting out there that's got to go in the ground for all the water to go in and then go out, all that stuff. There's already been some turning around. I've watched them from the community. You know what? They're nosy. What's going on? I wonder what's happening. I wonder what they're doing up there. Breaking ground always brings prospects. And you know what happens? Here's what happens. We're going to get that new building done. And we're going to go in that new building. And there's going to be some rubberneckers walk in that don't know the Lord. They're just going to come because it's a building sitting there. They're just going to come to see what in the world has happened. That little brick church up there on the side of the hill, it's got that great big building. What in the world's going on? And you know what's going to happen? They're going to come in, and an old-time choir is going to get up and sing in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. They're going to get up and sing, and a special singer is going to get up and sing, and a preacher is going to get up and preach that there's a God that loves you, and there's a God that will change your life, and you can come here, and you can experience the glory of God. You can get guidance for your life. You can grow with us, and most of all, we'll show you grace. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter the lifestyle that you may have lived. There's a God that loves you and a God that'll change your life. Oh yes, it brings prospects. Breaking ground, come start playing till I quit. They ain't gonna come up here till we go out there anyway. Breaking ground brings problems, provisions, participation, prospects. But breaking ground, last of all, should always bring praise. It should always bring praise. Should always bring praise. Chapter number 8 of Nehemiah, the wall's finished. They finish it back in chapter 5, chapter 6. And chapter number 8. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. That's the reason I'm so dogmatic about a wood pulpit. Our new one will be wood. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood, I'm not going to take time to read through all those names, Verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. That's the reason I ask people to stand when I read the Word of God. That's what the man of God done in Nehemiah chapter number 8. Goes on to say in verse number 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You know what happened, man? They got done. Brother Josh, they stood there. They looked back over the past 52 days of God letting them build that wall back. That's amazing. Study that, how big that wall was, how many acres it covered. Amazing. They looked back over it, and the man of God stood up with the law, what we would know today as the Word of God. He stood up on a platform because he was above the people, behind a wood pulpit. And he said, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. And he started reading the Word of God to them. And you know what? All of a sudden somebody said, yeah, man. I just read it to you, honey. I just read it to you. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. All of a sudden somebody went, yeah, man. I said, preacher, what is all of that? Yeah, man. It's just scriptural praise. It's scriptural praise. Amen. You want to tell you what this building should do, what Breaking Ground should do? I'm going to tell you what we should have done. While they're singing, while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him. Every person in here ought to have had their hand raised in the air going, amen. That's right. God sure has been good. God sure has been good. Boy, I look back over the past 16 years. In 2006, there's 21 people voted me in as pastor. It ain't nothing I've done, buddy. I can promise you that. It's all in what the Lord God has done. And let me tell you what we ought to do this morning. We'll say, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? We ought to praise Him for this, but more than anything, we ought to praise Him this morning. If we're saved by the grace of God, that we're not going to hell, that God has changed our life, that we're not what we used to be. All of it goes back to the preaching of God's Word and the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God. Breaking ground this morning. Father.